This is The Guardian.
Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal Land with the full story. As the 7th anniversary of the Christchurch terror attack passes, so too does another year of commemorations in New Zealand. It was the country's worst mass shooting when a white supremacist murdered 51 worshippers at two mosques. But here, some say we're yet to reckon with the massacre, which was perpetrated by a man raised and radicalised in Australia. Today, Imam Ala El-Zukum and investigations reporter Ariel Bogle on why Australia struggles to confront its connection to the Christchurch massacre. It's Monday, the 23rd of March.
Full Story is supported by Telstra. Big ambitions need the right partner, and that's where Telstra comes in. Telstra works with enterprise and government organisations across Australia to help them build, connect, and grow at scale. They support real outcomes, from secure business growth to connecting schools to networks that help keep communities safe. Telstra is a long-term partner for organisations with complex needs and big plans. Together builds better, wherever they go. For enterprise-sized solutions, partner with Telstra.
Imam Ala, welcome to Full Story.
Thank you, and it's a great pleasure to be with you.
Can you just tell us about what it is that you do?
Sure. My name is Imam Ala El-Zukum. I'm the Imam of the Harabeg Mosque, and I'm also a counsellor at the Australian International Academy. And I'm so passionate about uniting and connecting our Muslim and non-Muslim brothers and sisters in the community.
You're based in Melbourne, and you were just in New Zealand for the commemorations. But what was it like for you 7 years ago when you heard about the attack in Christchurch?
On that day, I was actually delivering the Friday speech at the Harabeg Mosque. And suddenly we found the police force surrounding the mosque, and a lot of police members came and they told us that there is an attack on a mosque there in New Zealand. And the whole congregation was horrified by the situation. Everyone started getting their phones out to know the news and what's happening. It was really shocking and horrifying to know the massacre of 51, we call them martyrs, shuhada, because they were in one of the best places to worship God. And after going there, after 7 years of the incident and witnessing and seeing the mosque itself and how the perpetrator even went to inside the mosque and prayed sometimes to study the place well and to know where to attack. While I was taken to the mosque to deliver the Friday sermon that I was giving at my mosque in Harburg, and on a similar day, after 7 years, I gave the Friday sermon at that mosque to deliver the Friday sermon, imagining and putting myself in that position, people going peacefully to the mosque to connect with God, to find the shooter who is going to kill 51 people there from all ages, young, old, men, women. That was really terrifying for me. For a second, I was really, my heart was shaking. I was scared. And I couldn't imagine if this would happen with me. My feeling there, I had a mixture of feelings. The first one, when I met with the community, the resilience of that community and insisting on spreading peace and talking about their story and sharing it with the lovely non-Muslim brothers and sisters in New Zealand. They are so wonderful together, Muslims and non-Muslim brothers and sisters. And despite that person who tried to spread division and hate within the community between Muslims and their non-Muslim brothers and sisters, it went the opposite. The Muslim and non-Muslim brothers and sisters in New Zealand in Christchurch are all united. They walk together, they stand together, they commemorate together, which is giving some sort of healing to the hearts of the people there. And I still see the trauma on the faces of some families who are, you know, still living that negative experience. And it's so hard really for them.
When you went back this year, you spoke to victims' families and widows. What sense do you get about how New Zealand has tried to reckon and piece together the impact of what happened that day?
Yeah, they are resilient. I was actually invited by what is called the Sakina Community Trust. It's a group of seven widows whose husbands got killed at the mosque. And they did not stop there. They did not let the trauma trap them in sitting at home and just getting with the sadness that's in their heart and will be in their heart forever. Dr. Hamima and six other great women, I call them the great women. We had so many events, like the main one we concluded our event. I went there to give the Friday sermon. On Friday, Saturday, we had some iftar dinners and meeting with the survivors and the families of the victims. And on Sunday, we had a walk and talk march, which is a walk of unity. And even on the news, the New Zealand news put it, they're not just talking about the 51 Unity Week helps heal the scars of the Christchurch mosque attack. We had a big walk together. We're reminding each other of unity, standing together against violence, condemning racism towards any community, and especially when Islamophobia is on the rise now. So there is a great support. And the Muslim community there that got attacked is not just healing, but they're also spreading the message of peace and love with the community. I heard that word many times by those women and the survivors and their families. That incident would never divide us. It will keep us united. It will get us together to stand against hatred and violence as one community.
Back in Australia, I can certainly hear how affected you continue to be by this terror attack. Generally, when you speak to Muslim communities, people in your community, what do they say about how they continue to be affected by it?
They so scared, rigid, because, you know, Islamophobia is still happening. Some mosques in Australia received threats, including mine. We had some writing on our mosque. And Lakemba Mosque received three threats. And some Muslim women with the hijab were attacked. And an imam and his wife got attacked. Islamophobia is still there. And some people are scared that, may God forbid, we pray for the safety of Australia and every other place in the world. We don't like to have a similar incident in a place of worship, whether it is from Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, whatever the faith is. We would like everyone to connect with God peacefully. So the people are still scared. People go to the mosques, especially in the month of Ramadan. It's a heavy month of worship. And we have a special night prayer. We had to bring five security guards, men and women, to protect women and children. We are in a very peaceful and safe place. Australia is a safe place. It's the most multi-faith and multicultural place in the world. We should not be scared. And not any other community should be scared to go to connect with God in their place of worship. So when the commemoration of Christchurch is happening, they feel very sad for the losses and they're also worried about their future here.
The terrorist that perpetrated the attack was an Australian. He was radicalized in Australia. Do you think there has been any kind of reckoning in Australia around that?
From the posts that I see and the statements, unfortunately, there is a severe lack of mentioning that. Pauline Hanson is still mocking the Muslim community and the Muslim practices and rituals. And this is very sad to see. And not mentioning anything about the Australian guy and his extreme ideologies and that he got radicalized in Australia is not giving some sort of comfort to the communities that we are working hard. And I even remember the National Anti-Racism Framework, 64 or 63 recommendations. I'm not sure where that has gone. It's not in effect yet. And so many of the recommendations have not been applied yet. So we need to work on that. We need to stand against any racism and any extreme ideology that is threatening the stability of our community and the safety of every single person in Australia.
So on that, what kind of concrete action do you want to see happen? What do you want governments to do?
That's a good question, because when we look at other communities, for example, like the Bondi incident, we stood together against that. We refuse that, and we condemn strongly that worshippers and their or some people in the Jewish community in their religious events celebrating their religious rituals to get attacked and to have losses and victims. We would like to have a very strict law for anti-racism and violence and discrimination. And we would like to have a law for Islamophobia. You know, Richard, the Muslim women are in the front line of dealing with Islamophobia. When Sheikh Alaa is taking off the religious clothing, I don't get identified as Muslim. But a Muslim sister wearing the hijab all the time, going to the public places and the shopping centers and going with her children to the school and going to the mosque, she can easily be identified as Muslims. And look at the comments on the Facebook page of the Islamic Council of Victoria. We started a campaign with them as well, educating the community. Look at the comments. Look how the racism and Islamophobic comments are still there. Imagine what's happening in reality. And we would like to see a very strict law protecting especially women. Women cannot be attacked, especially in front of the children. And in Ballarat, last Sunday, there was an iftar. There were innocent children witnessing a person going there to attack the iftar. So I think we really need a strong law against any hate, especially Islamophobia.
Just briefly, there are new hate laws in Australia. Do you not think that they're enough?
Hate laws would be more sufficient if Islamophobia law is included, that is protecting and making it a big crime to attack especially women. I cannot emphasize enough, Rajit, on women. Women are strong and resilient. They are contributing a lot to the community. It is really heartbreaking to hear about a Muslim woman that got attacked. And because of that trauma, sometimes it takes them months to get out back to the community and to continue their great work.
Have you spoken to any MPs or government ministers about that?
We always talk.
What do they say?
So they say we are working on that. And the government many times has said we are working on that. But since November 2024, there's no concrete, you know, action that was taken. And with the Islamophobia law, there are many statements by the ministers and the MPs, especially when the Christchurch commemoration is also going hand in hand with the International Day to Combat Islamophobia. So this is a good thing to see, emphasizing by words, but we are really desperate to see now is actions. We need a law for Islamophobia.
Imam Alaa, thank you so much for talking to us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and thank you for hosting me.
Next, investigations reporter Ariel Bogle on the lasting impact.